Welcome to the HealthLinks podcast, presented by the HealthLinks family of services. I'm your host, DJ Thatcher. Our mission here is to engage in conversations about the health and wellness landscape of South Carolina so that we're all better informed. In this segment, we're joined by a repeat guest. It's Dr. Kay Durst, who's a board-certified family medicine physician with Durst Family Medicine, part of the Roper St. Francis Healthcare System. She's also the president of the Charleston County Medical Society, and it's really from that perspective that that we have her on today. So, Dr. Durst, welcome to the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you. It's such an honor and privilege to be here. I'm very excited.
I should say, welcome back to the HealthLinks podcast. We had you on before. You told us a lot about the Charleston County Medical Society and what it does, and you're serving as the president right now. Maybe just real quick, just to inform all of us, hey, what is the Charleston County Medical Society all about?
Yeah, well, the Charleston County Medical Society has been around for over 50 years, and it's a wonderful medical society, and the mission of helping the community, mainly it is physicians that are involved. The great thing about it is it doesn't matter what organization you work for, private practice, MUSC, Roper, Trident East Cooper, just moved into the area, maybe retired, and we're a bunch of physicians that have different initiatives. We work with disparities in healthcare. We have our wonderful, which we'll talk about, our health and wellness in the school committee. We do different service projects. We also have different functions to help with the well-being of our physicians. We also have a big public health kind of initiative where we help be the voice of things going on public health in our community to help us all be more physically, emotionally, well.
Wow. So you're leading that organization plus a busy medical practice. So you're a busy person, obviously. So
yes, it's a great way to give back and use our expertise to help, you know, it's our community. So if we help that may be wealthy and healthier, then it helps us. And I said wealthy, but I meant wealthy in health.
Right, I gotcha. Well, you know, of course, what we're talking about today is really what the Medical Society is doing in our public schools. But first, you know, you are part of a legacy with Durst Family Medicine. Tell us real quick about that. And I know you're local, born, bred, and educated, right?
Yes and no. Yeah, but mainly my father's and grandfather have been here. My grandfather started the practice over 70 years ago. He's one of the first pioneers for family medicine and general practice across the United States. I learned a lot from him because he was the first physician all in East Cooper area. He helped fund some of the hospitals, the county hospital, old tuberculosis hospital in East Cooper. So he was kind of your general family medicine doctor, go do house calls and all. And then my father also is here, family medicine doctor, and he's been here for over 50 years. So they practice together. So I grew up with them, grew up here in Atlanta to go to MUSC. I did my training actually down at University of Florida in Miami, practiced down there for many years and been back here. But I grew up with both of them going to a lot of the hospitals, old Baker Hospital, St. Francis Roper, hanging around in the emergency rooms and doing calls. And then what was great is back then we would go do a lot of house calls. So we used to go to all the house calls. And people back then, we didn't have insurance much, so they would do a barter exchange. So maybe we'd go to somebody's house and they were a farmer, so they would practice, you know, give good health, but instead of paying, they would give us bushels of corn or...
Wow.
So it was a great, it was a good time. So I did have some mentorship through them.
So this has been part of your life, pretty much your whole life. Wow, that's
terrific. True. And even in my office, I started since I was a teenager, the old filing cabinets. I've done pretty much every job except for full-time manager in the job there.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, thank you for that overview. Let's focus on now what the Charleston County Medical Society is doing within our public schools. You know, many of us are familiar with the school nurse and, going there for, a quick first aid treatment or something. But it's a whole lot more than that these days. Give us an overview of how the Medical Society is helping out with our public schools.
Yeah, well, I think this is very important, and I've been involved in that. I've been part of the Medical Society for about 18 years, the one here in Charleston. Before that, I was in the Florida one. But I really was involved. Actually, one of the things was the school and health committee really interests me because I had little kids. So I thought, let's see what this is about. And it's very exciting. Also, I taught school for a little bit before medical school, and I have a lot of teachers in my family. So I was kind of drawn to that. But it's such a privilege that we have the opportunity to work with the schools. So the history is from 1950 and onward, the Charleston County Medical School, the Charleston County Medical Society, has worked with the medical school and the community, but through our society and the different hospitals to help bring wellness and to be a public figure to help with health issues in the community. So back then when you had the outbreaks of polio and the measles, and then there were outbreaks of different type of diseases, chickenpox, the society would help with the nurses and the doctors in the area, you know, overcome a lot of those issues. But since then, we've definitely evolved. And as you mentioned, it's a little bit more complex. Our main doctor, Dr. Jane Key, who works at MUSC, who's a pediatrician, she's been involved since 1990s, when she moved into town, and she's been our main health initiative chairperson under the School and Health and Wellness Committee. And in 2010, she ended up helping develop with MUSC and their Boeing School what's called Children Health Initiative, the Wellness Initiative, that has helped with different programs that we can discuss about that impacts not only Charleston County schools, but Berkeley County, and then also programs throughout the whole state.
Prioritize your health with a subscription to HealthLinks magazine. Get every issue of HealthLinks delivered right to your door for only $15.99 a year. 6 issues packed full of local factual health information to help you be the best version of yourself. Subscribe now to HealthLinks magazine. Visit subscribehealthlinks.com. That's subscribehealthlinks.com. HealthLinks magazine, the Low Country's prescription for well-being. You're watching the HealthLinks podcast.
Wow. So from the standpoint of a student who's in any of these schools, and this is elementary right through high school, I guess. Yeah. Is that right? Okay. So from their perspective, what might they see? What is the medical society doing for the average student? Yeah.
Well, they might see, they might not see some of it because some of it, they might think it's, you know, just policies there at the school. One of the initiatives that we worked on through different legislature this year, or last year, was helping to get sunscreen to the schools. So Dr. Key and our group, our team, our committee worked to that where we're trying to prevent skin cancer or other burns because it's a different product. You just couldn't bring there. It had to be legislation that we put through the South Carolina legislature that people can bring sunscreen and put it on. So wow. That's a big initiative. So they might see, hey, now I can do sunscreen. That's there. Working with the different teams, they might now at the schools see different gardens. A lot of the schools have gardens, and we have sensory gardens and gardens for food. So they might notice that's there. They might notice there might be a healthcare worker that's on the wellness team that comes and talk to them.
So get back to the sensory gardens. What is that all about? That sounds interesting.
Yes. So different schools, they have sensory gardens and also just gardens to help learn about where does food come from? How can we be healthy? Maybe somebody knows that a student has a family member or maybe themselves that have diabetes or high blood pressure, and they work and learn how to eat good foods besides, you know, pop and chips. Mm-hmm. Where does food come from? So the different programs work. So under the schools, they have a wellness team. And under those teams, depending on the school, they started these different gardens. So it might be a sensory garden where they work with kids with special needs, you know, working with using their hands to feel the dirt or the water or, you know, being able to tend to that garden. So there are different things that they're there. Some schools have used the gardens. The students plant the seeds, incorporating also science projects with it, being outside, And we have many studies that have shown, you know, it helps with mental health and physical health for these students to be there. And at one school where I was a dot-to-dot program over on Daniel Island, we used the garden. We got the stuff that was in the garden and we did a colors of the rainbow theme. So the chefs and some of the teachers and all, we had the students come and learn about the different foods and learning to have colors of the rainbow on your plate. And that means that on your plate, besides like chip and macaroni and cheese, which might be all yellow, you could add in blues, you know, blueberries and greens and red strawberries and peppers, and to try to understand what does that mean. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful program. And right now on the numbers, I mean, just want to tell you, there are 151 schools that have food-based gardens.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's really great. So it's really good that we have that and they use that. And then it's part of that is also doing the wellness. So out of a lot of the schools, we have 94 schools that also have a wellness or a walking or running group with either the students or the employees. I mean, not only do we focus on the kids, mm-hmm. we focus on the teachers, the employees that are there.
Sure. Well, their physical and mental wellness is important as well, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah. Love the concept there of the rainbow colored foods. It sounds like something that any of us can could benefit from with our diets. I'm probably guilty of having too many yellow things, as you mentioned. So.
Yeah, no, that's very important. There's lifestyle medicine that we work with that, you know, sleep, food, the colors, the rainbow, looking at culinary medicine, kind of getting back to our roots of things that are good. And then even through the Boeing and the MUSC, they do have their pediatric lifestyle medicine that works with that. Especially right now looking at the mental health of things.
Is that more of their focus with that initiative, the MUSC Boeing connection?
The mental health? Mm-hmm. No, their whole thing is everything that I was talking about.
Oh, everything. Okay. So that's okay. Just to be clear.
Yeah. So it's under the Medical Society or committee, but that through grants, since Dr. Key works at MUSC and Boeing, has helped with some of the initiatives. And then a lot of the schools, like one of the schools I worked with, they say, hey, they wanted to do a garden. Well, it costs money, right? Mm-hmm. So the schools, Boeing and MUSC and the different committees help these schools write grants so they can get money for these initiatives. So they can have a sensory garden or maybe exercise equipment. We've worked with that. Or, you know, having the money for the garden.
That's a great example of how the business world, how corporations can help us with the community. Certainly Boeing is a great partner in that as well. So it sounds like a lot of what you're responsible for or the committees are responsible for really is education, isn't it?
Yes. No, that's exactly what it is. And then they just to say, too, we're mentioning just the statistics. So 107 of the schools applied for grant to support the wellness efforts. And there was 252,000 wellness funds awarded to the schools. Wow. So there was a lot of great. And this is back. I'm quoting, which was just released. The Dr. Key gave us is the 2024 MUSC Boeing impact, which is on our website, but also through MUSC Boeing. Anybody can look it up. And it's very great. Talks about the vision, which is their visit to support schools and the adoption of proven strategies that promote optimal health and wellness.
Wow.
And tells about the different, you know, different initiatives. And one of the initiatives that we are working on through our school health committee right now is realizing, you know, we're working with the physical health, but also helping the kids do well in school and be successful. What's very hard for a child, for anybody, but especially a child, to come into school and maybe they were just at a home that experienced trauma. Maybe they would live with their grandmother, and their grandmother was in the ER that day or something, and then they're expected to go to school, take a test, and, you know, be active. So there's different programs now that can identify that child anonymously, but there are different programs that they have that they can work with that child and set them up with mental health. Wow. And another big program is, unfortunately, we've seen a big rise in substance abuses within the schools. So we have worked very hard, our committee and the committees with MUSC Boeing Health Initiatives, two main things is, one, to get Narcan, which helps reverses, especially fentanyl, opioid overdoses in the schools, so that nurses and all know how to apply that. Because unfortunately, we see that. The other thing is, the gun safety, to help with doing that, but also AEDs. So, defibrillators to help get those into the schools and the gyms. And actually, they have a couple of programs now to teach the different, the teachers CPR that want to learn in the schools.
Terrific. That's good. Yeah, you talk about the substance abuse and so forth, and it gets a lot of coverage in the news. I guess along with that, though, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, one of the big issues is the vaping, isn't it? And some of these ingredients in vapes, which they say they're targeted toward kids with their colors and so forth, and they're really not a very safe alternative to smoking, I understand. Yeah. Is that right?
That's correct. And that's the bad thing is, people think, hey, I'm not smoking, I'm vaping. But one hit of a vape is almost like smoking a pack of cigarettes. Wow. And we'll see more and more young people vaping. And there's obviously legislation about that. But we have, through our school health and wellness committee, has also worked with another partnership. It's not under us, but with the, it's called Screenagers, which is a group that's in the area that has put on different movies to help with substance abuse at the different schools. And then we have a panel of myself, a couple of our physicians have been on the panel with other people in the area, from TV journalists to others that maybe themselves have gone through substance abuse or a family member of substance abuse. So unfortunately, it's touched almost everybody. It's touched my family also. So we talk about, we show the movie, and then we have the panelists of experts and give an opportunity to these kids and the parents to ask questions.
Wow. Well, this is a great initiative, and it sounds like you're working really closely with the school nurses at each location and so forth.
And like I said, our school health and committee, that Dr. Key runs, that we run, is a lot of our nurses, the educators, people that really have put a lot of effort, and I admire them for their love and passion to help with the wellness of these kids. For everything. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I think a lot of people don't realize a lot of things that have happened. It is just more than just the nurses, but it's to give them empowerment to help. I know the different programs too, not really through us, but Boeing, just helping if a kid is sick, they're doing telehealth to look in their throat and their ears and to help them, because maybe the parent doesn't have access to medical care or can't get there. I know it's hard. I work full time. My kid's sick. It's even hard for me sometimes. Sure. So that, you know, your kid's there. But it's overall a great program. They've done some wonderful, like I said, impact. And the one of the initiatives too is, we know, like anything, if we're healthy, then we're going to do better. So if you have healthy kids, healthy staff, they're going to do better. If they do better, then their scores are better, and then they get more money. So it's a it's kind of an overall initiative. And some of the teachers and the employees have really taken off with this. The one thing I talked a little bit about, but I'd like to just talk about, is really through this Charleston County Medical Society, is the Docs Adopt program I mentioned a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you more about that. Yeah, give us a quick snapshot of that. Interesting. Yeah,
so it's been great. Like I said, it's been around for a while. We have, so the county society puts also with those, and please, we're looking for more doctors that would like to come and adopt a school. And what that means is, the committee puts you with that school. So we used to have that you were an MUSC Doctor Dot program, like I've done several schools. And during that, you can do what you want. You could either just go. Some schools have no committee. Some schools have a very robust committee. Mm-hmm. And what these committees do is while you're there, you can either start initiatives or you're kind of like the liaison to help them with the medical questions they might have.
I got you.
Like I said, we've worked on different programs. One of the things which is exciting that I haven't alluded to is through the DOSADOT program. So you might do it for a year and you meet once a month. Some people are very involved, help start races, go on campus. Some people, it's not as involved. It just depends on mm-hmm. the school and the time and effort. You do not have to have a kid at that school. You don't even have to have kids. So even for me, I was a DOSADOT for a couple of the schools that my kids didn't go to. So, but it's there and it's important. But these health initiatives through Boeing, when you do a certain initiative, you get points. So the schools now kind of compete with each other and they win a big prize at the end of the year. So at the end of the, throughout the year, a certain school, you get certain points. And I don't have exactly what that is this year, mm-hmm. but let's say, for example, you might get a point because you incorporated yoga in your class to help with mental and physical stuff or within the school. You have a garden, you got new equipment, you met, you have initiatives. And at the end, there's a big, which I can find out for you later the date, Dr. Key would know it, but there's an initiative where that school is awarded some money and grant money, and it's a big deal to see which school got the most points.
No, interesting. Wow.
So it's fun that it's been going around for a while. So like I said, it's been a great program.
Yeah. Well, you have all these great initiatives going. Are you taking advantage of the fact as well to maybe entice some of these students to enter the medical field? I mean, we've got shortages at every level of the medical field. Is that anything that you've been doing as well?
Yes, we have. And that's a great initiative. Looking at nurses, medicines, and all the, you know, the different STEAM or STEM programs.
Sure.
I know through Boeing, even myself, and even through Roper, I've done several classes where we've done telehealth Zoom. We did it all during COVID. We worked with some kids doing some science projects to help them be interested in the healthcare. And I think it's very important because I think we need to start them younger, you know, to realize, hey, maybe not only a doctor, maybe I want to be a physical therapist or a nurse or a lab tech or phlebotomist. And they didn't even think about it. And what's great, too, is that a lot of these initiatives or these students, you know, they get different money to go to the schools or their different 2-year programs. And as you're familiar with probably like at Wando, a lot of the schools you could get your maybe certificate in something while you're going to high school. And, and that's awesome program.
Well, you grew up with this. I got my start in high school in a, I think it was an old Explorer kind of program or something. So it really does work.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, too, looking at the DOSADOT program, you know, a lot of this is it's important that it's to implement evidence-based wellness strategies.
That's
so
good.
So it's essential. It's not like just putting up. There's a lot of evidence-based behind everything, and this is really good. And the healthcare workers, you know, and the providers and the doctors play a critical role in integrating primary care with public health. The school wellness checklist. So the checklist I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. that you get the points. So it's universal evidence-based strategies that assist schools in making the policies, systems, and environmental changes required to build and sustain a culture of wellness. The committee or checklist also serves as a scoreboard during the school year. And like I said, they earn points where it's implemented. And if they meet the minimum points, then they get the award that can
I see.
Use. So
good for you for the initiatives. I just saw an article this morning as we're recording this that South Carolina is near the top of the unhealthiest states in the U.S. And so anything we can do from this standpoint is helpful. Anybody who wants to reach out to you at the Medical Society, what is the best way to do that, Dr. Durst?
Yeah, it's probably with our through, especially if they're a physician, then they can go to our website and then our phone number, and I can give it to you. And then, like I said, you could look on our website. We have the school health committee. We'd love for people to join. There are a lot of new physicians in the area that aren't aware of this. They might not even know their program had a school and health.
Right.
So we could go on there. And once you go on our website, there'll be initiatives there. You could reach out and call our executive director, Donna Ramacone, that can help set up and pair you with Dr. Key.
Terrific. And we'll put some information down here about that as well.
Well, South Carolina MUSC Boeing Impact is also going to be on there.
Terrific. All right. Yeah. Well, Dr. Kay Durst, president of the Charleston County Medical Society, thank you so much for joining us here on the HealthLinks podcast.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here, and it's so great to get the word out that we can help, especially the kids. They're our future, and help them. Sometimes they can't help themselves, so we can help them. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And for anything related to information regarding HealthLinks at all, you can check out our website at healthlinkssc.com. And we have about 200 podcasts in our files. You can check out any of those as well at this address as well. Just put a little podcasts there at the end. And to reach out to me directly for any ideas for podcasts or questions about our guests, I can be reached here at host@healthlinkssc.com. Once again, thank you for joining us. We'll see you in the next podcast.